everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities Virtual Reality Podcast. My name's Alex VR. This is Skiva, my co-host. What's up, dude?
How you doing, buddy?
We're in the same room.
We are. Look at this. We can touch and everything.
We've been faking it, faking being in the same room for the past few episodes, but, you know, country's opening back up, things are slowly starting to happen, and I think I feel safe. You're not sick, right?
No, I'm
I'm fine.
Fuck. Okay, so we're good. This is episode 15, and it is the end of our first season. It's insane to think that we already are 15 weeks into doing this show. We've been having a really good time with it, and we are ready to kind of make some changes and take a minute to kind of look at it from an outside perspective and come back with even better content after you know, maybe a few weeks or I don't know, a few weeks or a month
as soon as possible. We're not going to be able to not do this for very long, so
Graham Gettle, what's up, dude? Thank you for joining us. Cameron
thanks
Evans,
for everyone in chat.
Gaming science teacher, it's great to see you here. And of course, as always, Danny Hunkley. We love you.
German Rifter, hey, it's really late.
Grifter, he's the dude. I wouldn't be sad if you left a little early. We know it gets late for you. So anyway, let's not keep these guys waiting.
Yes,
waiting in the wings right now is two dudes that we admire a lot. This is probably, I would say, the biggest inspiration for us when it comes to starting this show. We took a lot of pages out of their book, and we are super happy to have them with us. Sean and Tyler from Rendered Reality. What's up, boys?
Hey, what's going on?
Thank you guys for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. This is super fun, man. I'm really glad to have you guys on the show. As Alex said, you guys are a huge inspiration to us. We really just love your format, everything you guys talk about. One of the best shows on YouTube for sure.
Steve XM,
we appreciate that.
Give Sean a little bit of the screen.
Right.
How long have you guys been doing your show?
Oh man,
I don't even know. It's been, it's getting close to a year now for doing the Coffee VR show. I think we started in May of last year, right?
I think you're right. Yeah. And it was kind of on a whim for us too. I mean, I don't, if you guys have been around for a while, so Alex, you may know too. But we kind of started by just loving VR, and we'd get on and BS on Saturday mornings and be like, hey, like, let's play something. We'd talk for 2 hours and be like, well, we never played anything, and we sat here and talked, so we might as well put it out there on the internet. And I didn't want to, because I don't like being in front of the camera, but
you've learned to love it at this point.
You just kind of get used to it and pretend nobody's watching, you know, or everyone's undressed or whatever everybody does. So
You know, that was like a big part of like our first couple episodes was like kind of like getting this guy, you know, because I had already started my channel, so I'd been used to being in front of the camera, but this guy was behind the camera. So for him, it was like definitely like a a learning
time. A little scary as well. Yeah, for sure.
But now it's like natural.
You just kind of forget about.
It definitely gets easier.
So how did how do you guys know each other? Like, are you guys like high school buddies, or did you meet because of VR? Like, how did you guys
come to take this one, Sean?
So we actually, for a large part of our younger life, we actually lived really close to each other. I mean, walking distance back and forth. So we did go to high school together. We weren't really, really big friends or whatever, any through school, except for probably maybe my last year or two through high school. That was when we really started hanging out. And really what brought me and Tyler together was the car scene. We were both big into cars. We loved everything about cars, you know, did some street racing and some crazy stuff back in the day. But that was what brought us together. And then when I moved to Virginia, I moved away. And really, we kept our friendship through video gaming. That was how we hung out. You know, we hung out playing Xbox and Halo and all those games and stuff. And then, we got VR. And the moment we got VR, it was like, this is unbelievable. This is the greatest thing.
It's amazing how, though, it does keep like a true friendship alive, because you literally have those memories of doing things with your friends. Like, it's not sitting there playing, you know, I'm not playing Call of Duty and hitting some buttons and, okay, we shot some people and that was cool. It's like, I have memories of doing things with Sean, and that's the unbelievable part, and being hundreds of miles apart from each other. So
that is so awesome, dude. That is so awesome. I absolutely love that. I mean, frankly, regular video games are able of, you know, doing that. Like, flat screen games have been achieving that for a long time.
And but not being really being able to create memories with somebody, you know.
That's true.
Like, like, I feel like, you know, what Taylor said is very, very accurate. Like, you really do kind of make a memory that you would you know, just have, if you were actually hanging out in the same room together and actually going on these adventures. And that's one of the things that's so cool about it. One of the things that's so cool about co-op, you know, it's like you're actually participating in this stuff with your friends. And it's just awesome.
And those friendships for me are like definitely the best ones because they're so like, there's no bullshit. Like you can just send like a one word text. It's like, ready? And they're either yes or no, you know, and it's like they say yes and you're both there, like let's, like, you know, bullshit, like, no, how you doing, what's up, buddy? I mean, there's a little bit of that maybe, but it's like, let's get to it, you know. At the end of the session, it's like, yo, I gotta go, all right, man, bye. Done. Like, homies. I love it.
All right, on, you know, I figured for this show we'd get into just a little bit of the current stuff going on, and then we can just kind of talk about your guys' adventures in VR and all that stuff. Man, there's so much going on that, like, we're going to have to kind of pick and choose here. There's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of conversations that a lot of different people have had, too, you know, so we don't have to, like, you know.
Well, I think the first thing we got to do, though, is we have to talk about Half-Life. Right, because the SDK just came out, the official Half-Life SDK, and within 24 hours, there was good content out there. You know what I mean? Like, within 24 hours. Right. Imagine a month from now. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Right? This is huge. I feel like this is really, really huge.
Yeah, so. I think you're right. I'm super excited. I've mentioned this multiple times, but it's like Counter-Strike and Team Fortress are arguably more popular and more played than Half-Life, you know, like millions of people, and to this day Counter-Strike is played competitively, you know. That is something that was birthed out of Valve's tools, so to see what people can do with Valve's tools in the VR realm is super exciting, dude.
I agree. I think we're gonna see a plethora of stuff come out, like just a lot of good stuff, and I think we'll see a lot of garbage, but we'll see a lot of good stuff too. Have you guys been able to dive into any of the new Half-Life stuff coming out?
No, not yet.
No. And I do want to get into Source 2, and that's hopefully my goal this week, is to actually get to dive into Source 2 and get to play with it a little bit. I'd like to see how far they're going to let us go with it. I haven't heard a whole lot of what the limitations are on it yet, but I guess I'll have to get in there and find out myself. Yeah.
I planned on jumping in there today, but I actually was outside doing yard work all day long, so I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I definitely will this week. I've already checked out everything on the workshop, so I've already kind of picked out what I want to jump into and stuff like that. But
I was really excited to see all the some of the Aperture assets and stuff brought in too, that to be able to use, which is
that's
so
what
cool.
I wanted to ask about, like, you know, when I mentioned stuff like Counter-Strike and Team Fortress, like there's no model of a heavy in Half-Life anywhere, you know, like someone made a model and imported it, you know, like is that, can we do that with this stuff?
That's a good question, because from what I heard, you cannot import assets. It's just their shit.
Yeah.
So like every game that comes out has
that's just
it.
That's just for the workshop, I believe, right? I believe if you license the SDK for Source 2 from Valve, then you can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, so you
like to make an actual game.
I see.
And I think there's a lot of stuff in there too, not even just stuff that you've seen in some of their games. Like from what I understand, there's a ton, I mean, tons and tons of assets and stuff in there. Yeah, a lot of unused stuff, a lot of experimental stuff they've used.
You know, I was in there yesterday. I was playing a map called Garage or something.
I saw that one,
It was really good, first of all. Definitely jump into that one.
On my list.
Really, really good. But there were multiple things in that level that I've put in over 40 hours in Half-Life. I've 100% completed it, you know, all the gnome challenges, all that stuff. But there were like three things in that level I had never seen in Half-Life before, in Half-Life Alyx.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's some, definitely they're using assets that were not put into the game. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Tom Clancy, thanks for joining us, brother. Good to see you again.
What's up, buddy?
So, you know, another thing that is really exciting with Half-Life Alyx is some fucking B-Haptics integration, dude.
Like, so not many people know about this.
Not a whole lot of people know about it. They were planning on initially releasing this officially on the 21st, and I think they're going to be doing like a flash sale for some of the B-Haptics gear, which is why they were like trying to line everything up. But people got they released it. People got their hands on it, and I've already seen people making videos on this. Like VR Oasis made one, and a few other people did too. So Half-Life Alyx now has full integration with the B-Haptics tax suit, the vest, the hands, the arms, the face piece, like the whole fucking shebang. And this guy has actually been in there.
Yes, I spent hours in here. Like, I'll tell you what, man, this is the most immersive video game on the planet right now. You add, all I have is the vest. I don't have all the other pieces. But holy shit, when you turn a corner and there's a combine you're not expecting and he blasts you in the chest with a shotgun, like I play on this cyber stool thing, right? I almost fell off my chair. Like, it is legitimately scary. Like, a face hugger like tries to get you, and like if it hits you, it vibrates everything. Like, you know, you go up to the health station, you put your hand on there, and you know how you get the tactic feedback on your hand from that controller. Mm-hmm. It actually goes like up the front of the vest, down the back of the vest, and it makes you feel like your body's being full of health. It's really cool. Yeah. I'm so excited for people to get to try this, because now I get into Half-Life Alyx without this vest and I'm like, I can't, I don't want to do it. Get me the vest.
Is the thing that really like took me back. It's like, holy shit, like, it's the difference between, like, you know, like, now you almost feel naked, like you're in there without
like I'm getting shot and I don't feel anything. Why don't I feel anything?
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it really is, dude. It's incredible. This is the first. So there's only like two games, I think, before that really supported this. So our vests sat and collected dust, really, because how much thrill of the fight in Sorrento can you play? You know what I mean? Yeah. So but Half-Life Alyx, oh my God, I want to go through the entire game again with this vest. You know what I mean? So I am going to, you know, use it for all of the new content that comes out. There's going to be so much. Have you guys had a chance to mess around with any Behaptic stuff or anything?
And we've talked about on our show too. I think it's unbelievable for a game, you know, like Half-Life Alyx or something. We're going to be in it for a long period of time. But, and I think Sean probably would agree with this too, is it's a big overtaking to get into a suit, to play for a half an hour or an hour, to do, put all these things on, to gear up, then just to play for 45
minutes.
Right. Or
something. Yeah. You're totally right.
You have to be going in like, knowing hours. You're going to be in there for hours.
Yeah, for hours. Basically. Yeah. Yeah. I have the sub pack. I have one of the sub packs, and that's pretty cool. I've done some stuff with the VR and that. And when I got it, I was like, man, I'm going to use this thing all the time. Like, even just for like box VR or like any of those kind of games. And I never use it. Never. I used it for a while and that was it.
I think the sub pack works on sounds in the game, right? Mm-hmm. And it translates the sounds into vibrations.
Yeah, definitely not as good.
And the Behaptics vest has that mode as well if the game isn't supported.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of varies how well it works depending on the sound design in the game, but when it's specifically tuned to that game, especially Half-Life Alyx, it's magical. I didn't really think I was going to be praising this vest like this until I tried Half-Life.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's a big thing, because there is a way to use the Behaptic vest, which is like audio to haptic, where like if you wanted to use it for Beat Saber or something, you could do that. And that experience is, in my opinion, not worth the time or the money, not even close.
Well, when you said that, I was just looking up the Behaptic suit. I was thinking, man, I just need to sell that sub pack and order one of these now, because I want to try Half-Life Alyx with that thing. It sounds amazing. Seriously.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome. Like, I actually want to order the face kit and the arms.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because when a face hugger hits your face, that would be amazing. Yeah. Oh, I mean, at the same time, I really feel like I, you know, might have an accident. You know what I mean? It's scary.
Seriously. Right.
Well, and for the thrill of the fight, dude, like the whole kit, I couldn't imagine like not having it while I was in there experiencing it. Like getting hit in the head and having it vibrate, it's really good. Like, it almost sounds like it might even be gimmicky.
Or when they try to hit you and you're blocking, and it hits your hands instead. That's the big one. Not your face, right?
That's
the
big one. Yeah. So, Sean recommended to me, and I don't know if you guys have seen it or not yet, to watch Upload. It's a series by Amazon. They have a suit in there, and I've seen it, and I haven't even talked to Sean about this yet. But there's a full body suit, let's call it, in there, and I cannot get that image out of my head. This whole conversation talking about these haptic suits.
It's hilarious. You're talking about the rental suit, right? I don't want to ruin it, but it's a rental suit. So like somebody, one of the characters go in there and they're like cleaning these things and all this stuff.
Oh, God.
So,
don't even.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I remember Alyx, when you tried at CES, you tried the Tesla suit. And everyone, you got to get naked to get in that thing.
Literally.
Right? So they have to like someone gets out of it and you're like, I don't want to get in there after that. Dude. Yeah. But they like hot steam it to kill all the germs and like, but then it's wet when you put it on.
It was damp and extremely fucking cold. Yeah. Like, have you ever put a wetsuit on? It's exactly the same experience. Sure, it literally is a wetsuit. Yeah. It is a wetsuit.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it feel any cleaner or better being wet.
No, no, it wasn't. Right. I mean, that's definitely not something that like you want to share. I don't even want to think about who was in that thing before. Yeah. I don't want to.
And I know what you guys mean. This is, it's a lot of work. So one of the things I did is I put on the B-Haptics vest and then I put on my cyber shoes. And I did the whole thing, man, and it was so immersive. And by the end, with the vest on, especially because there's so much stuff in it, I was really hot and sweaty. I feel like I had like a full workout. Like I feel like I legitimately battled some of these combine.
So you know, do you think though you had a true different experience having all that on, other than just you know, playing it normally?
Yes, absolutely. Nice. And yes.
Would you compare it to like the first time going into real, like 60 degree freedom VR, that first time you went in there and your mind was just freaking blown, like, holy crap. Was it that kind of experience?
I don't think so. I don't know that anything will ever hit me as hard as that again. That was one of the biggest socks to the face I've ever had. Just bam, VR.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, totally. It's an enhancement that I would say it's comparable to like going from when we didn't have haptic feedback in controllers to when we did.
Yeah.
You know, like before it was just dead and then all of a sudden you get the vibration from everything. Mm-hmm. And
so here's the thing. It's not like you get shot and you're like, you know, and it hits you. It's a vibration.
It's like an indicator.
Right. It's a you know what I mean? So, and it's a good zzz, you know, but in the end, it's still just a vibration.
Yeah.
It's almost like they put cell phones everywhere, you know what I mean? But all over the thing. And but I'll tell you what, though, you forget, you know, if you weren't paying attention to what was happening on the screen, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of dumb. But when you're in there and you're facing off against someone and you peek out and the dude shoots you and it hits you on the side, you know what I mean? Like, or when you shoot your gun and the shoulder vibrates a little to indicate some feedback,
Awesome.
Kickback in the gun. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of forget a little bit that it's just a little vibration and you just like, I got shot, I felt something. And your body is almost like, oh my God, are you okay? Mm-hmm. You know, you know, it just freaks you out a little bit and that will go away. Just like some of the stuff in, you know,
just like your fear of heights even.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, but it is super fun. It's super fun.
I got to get rid of those now. It's going to be my next thing. Just for Half-Life, Alex, I'm going to play the whole game.
Yeah, dude. And that's the thing. If you buy this thing, you have to be okay with it really being a Half-Life Alex vest for now. Just for now.
Well, hopefully they come out with, you know, a simple SDK that, you know, any game developer can implement into their game pretty
That's basically easily. That's key. They basically have. I did an interview with her that I recently posted with Jennifer Lee from B-Haptics. I recently posted on my channel. And she said that like a lot of developers are like worried about the integration and are like stuck in this like chicken and egg scenario, but they developed software that you can download that you can like draw the mappings like a game, and then you just implement one line of code and it just jumps the whole thing in there.
Yeah.
So it really is just
The easier it is, the more integration we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's got to be super easy for developers. They don't want to spend a lot of time on something that's a niche of a niche.
But it's also like an art form, you know. Like you said, when you got healed, you felt it go up the front and down the back. Like that was a conscious decision that someone made. Yeah. They were like, how do I want to provide haptic feedback for this?
For health, I didn't think that was going to be as cool as it was. But you think about, because you never really think about how would it feel to be healed in a game.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, your whole body up, you're just like, oh my God, I'm being full of health. It's just it's so cool, man. Very, very cool.
So I wanted to ask Sean, are you still doing box VR every day? Are you still getting your VR exercise in?
Well, we've kind of slacked off a little bit. My wife was actually out of town this past week. She went back to Ohio where we're from. She went back there for a week to spend time for Mother's Day and her nephew's birthday and stuff. So we kind of figured we would still do it together being in two separate places, and that didn't really happen. So this past week we haven't really much, but I'm hoping this week coming up we'll get back into that. So we kind of took like a week off, I guess, but
That's cool. I've been like kind of like trying to maybe do it, you know, like I haven't done box VR yet, but I've been like thinking about using it as like exercise, you know, lately. Yeah. And I took Supernatural for a spin the other day and I played for a half hour and that game kicked my ass, dude. Like it kicked my ass hard. Like I was halfway through it and I was like, oh my God, I still have two more songs that I have to play through. Like, holy shit, how am I going to finish this? Like, it pushed me. And that was like 2 days ago, 2.5 days ago, and I'm like still sore from it.
Amazing how good of a workout you can get from VR. I have played Supernatural. I haven't done, I only did the tutorial thing. I still need to sign up for the free 30-day. I actually completely wrote it off after trying the tutorial. And I was like, I'm not even going to sign up for this, you know. But the VR man was, he's all about it. So he kind of changed my opinion. Yeah, so I think I'm going to go ahead and do the 30-day the free thing and see if I want to keep going. But that's what everybody says. And there was, he posted something, and I think in our Discord, that somebody that had been playing the game has been doing it like every day since it came out, and they like posted all their measurements and like all the results after that amount of time. And so people are saying, I mean, it's really, really good, and a lot of content, and the content has been,
you know, I'm not here to sell it. I'm not trying to sell Supernatural to anyone, because I don't even know that I am gonna participate, you know. Like, that's it is still steep. I do think there's a market for it. I think there are people who will find that the value is there. But really, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is I just wanted to tell everyone that they should try it. Like, just try it. Like, it's free. It's a free game sitting there for a month. And I bet you'll get a pretty good workout doing it.
Well, yeah, to me, it's never been, will I get a great workout? It's, if I sign up for a gym, I'm paying for a place that has a building, that has equipment that needs to be changed, employees that have to be paid. Mm-hmm. And like, I know they have employees that have to be paid as well, but like, I feel like I'm getting something tangible, and it is kind of maybe a mental thing, but like, at the end of the day, I feel like I'm still holding controllers and I'm still swatting at air.
Yeah.
I don't know that $20 a month is good. Now they lowered it, right, to like $12.50 a month, I think. That is better. Is it good? Yeah. I still feel like they need an option, like a lifetime buy. You know what I mean?
I think they did do a
they did do a yearly. There's a yearly one now, I think.
Yearly, I think they should have one where it's like, you know, you just pay a fee and it's just yours forever. You just unlimited.
But what then? Like $150? Like, you get to buy the year.
$300? I don't know.
It's tough. And I mean, we could go around the circle forever about this game. Yeah. We've talked about this game a bunch of times. Yeah. I just wanted to say, I played it recently and it was good. You should try it. That's all.
It's hard. It's, I mean, even like the different, like, I feel like you can pick up Beat Saber and you can get into it and get pretty good decently. But I mean, that's pretty challenging. I mean, it, just the difficulty level, not even the workout, just the actions and stuff of it's difficult. It's definitely learning.
I can rip it up in Beat Saber, dude. Expert Plus is not a problem for me. I shred in there, and I was dying playing Supernatural.
You know what we need? You know what the world needs? We need to exercise our fingers. And to do so, someone has made Finger Saber or something like that. Yeah. You get to play Beat Saber in augmented reality with your fingers.
Yep. So hand tracking. I mean, this is VR. By the way,
this is
VR.
That's
like a VR airplane.
It is.
But yeah, it's hand tracking with the sabers that come off the ends of your fingers. And at first, when I first glanced at it, I was like, man, I don't know. Like, that looks whatever. But then I was like, holy shit, I would play that. I would play that, and I would love it.
Yeah, but it would be one of those things, right? It would be almost like a game on your watch back in the day or something. It's not like a serious thing that you go into, but it looks fun. Right. It really does. So
I think it looks good. And it's like, you know, there's not a lot that is really engaging when it comes to hand tracking. You know, like, this is something that like you could actually like grab onto and, you know, be pulled along for the ride.
You guys, I think, had a mentioned on your show that you tried the hand physics lab and you really enjoyed that. I think that's one of the only, right? That was
it's
one
a
of
good
the only
implementation of hand tracking for sure.
I think it's the best one I've seen so far, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is it fun?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a sandbox, but I mean, it is fun though. I mean, it's cool to just go in there and play around, you know, and things that you don't normally get to do in VR with controllers.
It's like a tech demo. You know what I mean? Like, you get to try it and see how it works and feel your hands in there and true physics in there. So it's cool.
Yeah.
They talked about building on it and expanding the platform, maybe if it caught on or something like that, but it's free. So it's cool to try and good to show people too, what hand tracking is all about in VR. So it is cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys being into, a lot of multiplayer stuff and a lot of co-op stuff. I was listening to your show that you guys did yesterday, and you were talking about, you talked, I think, a little bit about Echo, or was that last week's show? Might have been last, I can't remember. But anyway, Echo came to the Quest, and if there's one thing I wanted to ask you guys in person, it's please get into Echo.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Everybody does like, a lot of people do like it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know. I don't, Sean and I played it when back it first came out. Yeah. I think we were in the beta of that and stuff. And we liked it, but it wasn't something that like brought us back or wanting more is what we, is what I felt like. I can't speak for Sean, but.
You know what's funny, when I got into it back in 2016 or 2017 as well, and for me, the cable in this game particularly is such a bummer that when this came to the Quest, for me it was a totally new game. Mm. You know, being able to spin around, whip the disc, you know, down the field the other way and not be hitting your cord or like, you know, grabbing, you know, wrapping it around your feet and stuff.
Yeah. So, 'cause I'm a big mover too. I actually like to move in my space completely. So I do get that. So I can't say I've played it on the Quest. But yeah, it probably would. You're probably right.
I downloaded it on Quest and did the 4-hour long tutorial. And then once that was over, I was like, all right, I gotta go. So I haven't actually played like an actual battle in the Quest, but I have went into it on Quest. So
I will go into this game, right? And sometimes I won't even go into a match. And I'll spend like an hour, sometimes 2 hours, just floating around, just kind of relaxing, whipping the disc around, playing catch with people, just practicing my skills in general, and just chilling. And to me, this game is so chill, like being able to just head up to the space station real quick and just kind of float around. True. And like, you know what I mean? So like the lobby of this game is worth, you know.
This game has been everything but chill for me. Like, from between getting face raped by 10-year-olds and like doing my best to acquire skills in this insanely competitive game.
It's really competitive.
It's super intense. Yeah. I actually participated this week. By the way, I have got a broken controller because of it. This week. Fucking swinging it around in my little room, smashed my legs.
Finger. Yep.
So I broke my controller playing this game, but I took part in the Echo Arena Rookie Cup this week. You know, they like released on Quest, everybody jumps in, there's like hundreds of new users, so they did a tournament that was for rookies only. It was like you had to have played in the past 2 weeks or like be like
it was 6 weeks. You couldn't play more longer than 6 weeks and you couldn't be a level 25. And I couldn't participate because I was over both of those things.
Mm-hmm. And so. huge shout out to Sonia Haskins, aka Hasco. She's the homie, and she was a huge part of putting this thing on.
Mm-hmm.
There was like coaches and organized teams and shit like on Discord. They're like, okay, here are your team members. Here's your coach. We met with a coach in Echo Arena, somebody who plays in the Master League or did play on the Master League, and he like showed us a bunch of shit. He's like, okay, this is what you guys are gonna do. You know, you two go in this one, you two go in this one. You're gonna take point up here. All right, who's gonna be your quarterback? He's your quarterback. Like, he like assigned roles to us, really like gave it a lot of like shape and stuff.
If you're gonna compete, that's how you have to be. Mm-hmm. You can't just have everyone going after the disc, then there's no one to throw it to. And like, yeah, you have to really, really play together as a team.
It is very much like Rocket League. If anybody out there's ever played Rocket League, like Echo Arena and Rocket League are so similar, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
And just as far as like the way you have to space yourself out from the ball and all of that goes. You know, we got into our match and the fucking enemy team had a level 50 on it.
Which is weird because it's a
like,
rookie cup.
What the
cup?
Hell? This is supposed to be a rookie cup. Apparently, the guy leveled like 26 levels in 2 weeks from the time that signups were to the time the matches started. He went from like level.
Well, then you shouldn't be able to play. I
agree.
I mean, he's really good.
Smoked us. He smoked us.
I don't know how you can go into a rookie cup and get your ass handed to you by a level 50. The level 50 is the highest in the game, just for people that know. You can't get any higher than that. That's it. So I don't know why he was allowed into the rookie cup, and that kind of really gave me a sour taste.
It made me sad, dude.
Yeah, but I want what I have a dream.
I have a dream
of me, you, and these two mofos in Echo tearing it up. So we got to give it a try at least one of these days, guys.
I do like some competitive multiplayer. So
I just need some practice. I'm definitely gonna have to get some practice in. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll like coach and stuff. Hey, and though, yeah.
There was like, I mean, it takes a long time. There was like 2 weeks where I'm playing this game with Skiva, and he's like, "Hey, man, like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? You sound like you're depressed or something." And just like. like losing and trying so hard to pick it up. So, you know, it's a steep learning curve, but it's one that I think is worth it.
It is. You know, we can get off of Echo now, but one of the things, there's a couple things I did want to talk while we have some time here to talk about. And one of those things is that, if I can find my right button, because I got a lot of stuff here, is that Oculus now has enabled Link over USB 2.
And right, let's get these guys' thoughts on this.
Yeah, first. Yeah, because in my opinion, they did this with wizardry, like magic.
Sean, what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, well, first off, I'm kind of mad that I spent $80 on a cable.
That I saw that.
I totally don't need now. So that's a little bit like a punch below the belt. I was kind of not happy about that. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the Quest in itself is wizardry to me, because
it
honestly does things that when we first heard about the Quest and the hardware and what it was going to be, I never thought they were going to be able to pull off the things they pulled off. So I'm already been blown away by the Quest. And this is just another thing that it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how they're doing it exactly, but I think it is awesome. And I really do hope that it is the next step to some kind of official wireless streaming that's going to be hopefully pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you would think that they would be able to do that, since some guy, like one developer that made Virtual Desktop, was able to do it by himself almost perfectly with the right kind of router. Mm-hmm. Right. So I find that when I play with Virtual Desktop, my graphics are better, and the latency is almost the same now. So, you know, I would like to see it go that route. But what I'm really blown away by is that they were able to take all of the data of the head movements, hand movements, all that fast data, all of the graphics, the insane graphics that we see, and compress it to something that fits through the bandwidth of a USB cable, and then decompress it on the other side of this headset that has a Samsung S7, you know, Snapdragon 835 in it. It doesn't even have a separate processor for graphics. Like, this is wizardry. It's just friggin' nuts.
So Delirium Drew says he heard that the 2.0 doesn't charge it.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. Will not charge during your play. So you will run out of batteries playing PC VR for sure. Yeah.
So I feel like that's an important distinction, right? Like, that's going to make you feel better about your purchase, right, Sean?
I guess so. I really don't use it that much anymore anyways, just because, I mean, I got it really just to try it out and see what it was going to be like, how well it was going to work. And I mean, usually when I go to PC VR, I mean, you know, I'm lucky enough to have, you know, an Index and a Rift S and stuff. So I'm usually grabbing one of those anyways. But for somebody that doesn't have that option, you know, it's awesome that these, you know, people get to try PC VR on an Oculus Quest, especially now without having to spend another $80. I mean, that's just fantastic.
I actually use it, though, for Oculus exclusives. I run my Index all the time. Like, that's all I'm using. Mm-hmm. So I have a CV1, but the cable shot on it. So it's intermittent. So I got tired of dealing with that. I had a Rift S for a short time. I didn't like it in the beginning, so it was out the door. So now I'm down with my Quest using Link cable. So it does work for exclusives and stuff. Not saying, you know, I can't use Revive, but it works great for that. And
you don't miss the Rift S?
Well, he got rid. He returned his back in the day when it first came out, and it was pretty much garbage. First person shooters, and we're like, dude, this is never gonna cut it.
It was worthless.
Yeah,
because of the hand occlusion and stuff with pulling your hands close to the camera and the built-in tracking.
Have they fixed it?
Yeah, they fixed a lot of that. It's way better now. But when it first came out, I mean, we were used to playing with a 3-camera CV1 setup, and we were like, dude, this is never going to work. Like, we can't play, you know? So we were super disappointed in the Rift S right off the bat, but luckily they fixed all those issues. But
for me, my IPD is too low, and I see flat things on the sides. Like, I see the edges of the screen, so I can't really use it. Plus, I'm looking through the part of the lens that is kind of like bent and stuff, and it just gives me eye strain because of the,
Same issue actually. If I play on the Rift S for a long period of time, it gives me a headache usually, because I do have eye strain without that mechanical IPD. But I still have it just because, I mean, I still use it a lot of times, and but mainly I usually use my Index for PC VR. But
yeah.
Did any of you guys have a problem getting Link to work before? like before the 2.0 update, because I had to jump through like 10 fucking hoops to get that.
I know you did, and I never had those problems.
Did you have any problems, Sean?
Compatibility between the software on the PC side and the software that was, or the firmware, whatever you call it, on the headset, when they didn't match, when that issue was going on, that's the only time I ever had problems.
Yeah, that was
but getting the computer to just recognize the headset, I haven't had any issues.
Oh, that's good. Because I have a buddy, actually, who's like hitting me up. He's like, hey, I'm ready for VR. You know, what do I do? Just tell me. He's like, money doesn't matter. I'm new to it. Where do I go? You know, and that's like, I'm the person to ask, you know? Like, so, but I still have a hard time deciding. I'm like, shit, do I have to like, tell him to get a Rift S? Or do I tell him to get the Quest and use the Link, you know? Because I want him to have a comfortable, high-quality PC VR experience. He has the PC.
Oh.
You know? So I want him to get, like, the lighter headset. Because for me, when I put the Quest on my head, dude, it hurts, man. It's heavy. Like, and when I take that off and I put the HTC Vive Pro on, it's like, oh.
And you know what's funny is that really is, like, a per-person thing, right? Because I wish I had it here, but I put the front VR cover on, the pleather replacement. I put the back one on, the thick 17 millimeter one, and then I put on the front, I put the cloth VR cover over the pleather. And when I, with the combination of those three things, I can wear that headset all day for work and use my virtual desktop for 8 hours, no problem. But when I then switch to play some serious PC VR, I switch to my Index. I actually have a hard time keeping my Index on for a long time because I have a lot of pressure problems on my forehead, and like, it's just, it's not as comfortable. I found that I have made the Quest an extremely comfortable headset with those options. And because of that, I use it a lot.
Tyler, what would you tell my friend to get?
Well, I think it's more purpose driven. So I think it depends on what type of, not gaming even that they want to do, but what experiences they want to have. So like, if you're the kind of person who wants to have family over and take it places and show them things, I would say go with the Quest. But if you're somebody who just wants to do some gaming and you have a good space for it, I would just buy a PC setup. I would go with an Index all day. There's nothing you really have to buy for it out of the gate. It's all going to work. Basically everything coming out from here forth works with, you know, Index controllers and stuff. So that's not an issue anymore.
You would recommend it as an entry level headset, even if the person had never, they don't even know what's up. They're taking my word for it that VR is worth it.
I mean, if they have an endless amount of money and they have a
PC, you said money headset, wasn't an issue.
Yeah, they want to get into it. It's Index all day. I don't know if money's, you know, okay. Let's say you're not wanting to spend more than $400, right? So now you're down to a Rift S and a Quest, right? Okay, which way do you go? I don't know. I still probably, for a beginner, I'm going to probably recommend the Quest just because it gives you so many more options. Yeah. You know, you can basically double duty that thing. You can be totally true wireless, take it somewhere, or you can come back and try out PC VR. And if you love it, sure, then invest in an Index, you know?
Yeah, and the whole time you have the Quest, you can be waiting for the Rift S to come available or whatever, you know, and then scoop it up when it is, sell the Quest if you want to.
Yeah, but
join the club.
For me, 8 frames a second, difference from the Rift S to the Quest isn't enough for me to say I can't just take this as a solo headset anymore. When my friends are like, hey, I'm gonna head out, we're gonna go play some Space Pirate Arena, and your buddy's like, dude, I'll grab my Rift S and we'll go, you know, you're gonna be like, oh dude, you know, can't do it. But you know what I might suggest is maybe wait for the Quest S and buy that, because I really feel like that's going to be
That's too long.
A Rift S killer,
that's
though.
That's too long. We can't wait for that. We need
We'll buy a Quest now and sell it when the new one comes out and upgrade it.
You'll probably still be able to sell your Quest for almost what you paid for it, even when this new Quest comes out. I have a feeling.
Or sell it to like your brother.
If it's not stinky full of sweat from Box VR. You know,
or keep them, because then you have two, you know, and then you can have friends over and you guys can play stuff together. Like, that's even better. So
We're just going to get him in. I even have the Quest. I saw one for sale. I scooped it. It's just sitting at my house. Like, I'm like waiting for the right person to come along, take it off my hands. So maybe I'll just be like, dude, you're taking this. There you go. Go home. Set it up. I'll see you in Hyper Dash in 2 hours.
Yep.
I just ordered one for my wife. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of get into some Box VR together and actually sit at night and go into some VR experiences together instead of her looking at me with a headset on.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's fun. No, we have a lot of fun together, honestly. And one thing, like I was telling her today, I really want her to get into the beta of the pro putt because we like to do putt-putt together. So I think that's something she would really like too. And we would have a lot of fun doing that together. Yep. But
my wife
it's great
loves
when
the putt. Oh, it's so good.
That's cool.
It's great when you can get your significant other into VR too. It's a great bonding experience, I think.
Yep.
Totally. Even things like 11 table tennis, right? We don't have a table tennis set up, but why would you get one anymore? Like, you know what I mean? Like if I had the choice between a Quest with 11 table tennis and a real table tennis setup, I mean, 11's better in every way, I think, because you don't have to like, every time the ball goes whizzing by, you don't got to go find it.
Dude, that's the best part.
Yeah, you just hit a button.
The best part.
Yeah, hit a button, the ball is right there again. You're like, woo.
That is hands down the best part of VR table tennis. You don't have to chase
but it's shit. It is great though. It does work insanely well as well. But you know what I'm thinking is I feel like the Quest S is going to really have to step it up a bit, and some of the other headset makers are too, because I know we've all been hearing a lot about PSVR2 here and there, little dibs and dabs, but I feel like I don't know if anyone really gets the gravity of everything they've put into these, into their patents. And I know they're just patents, doesn't mean they're going to be implemented,
right. But
they have released a series of patents and, you know, kind of teaser videos. For example, like, you know, like the hand tracking one where it's like Knuckles controllers. And I feel like this looks like it works way better than Knuckles controllers because my fingers do not do what they're supposed to do with the Knuckles controllers. You know what I mean? Like if I go to flip someone off, I got to adjust a little bit,
right.
You know, but this looks really good. You then couple this in with eye tracking and face tracking, right? So you can make faces in VR. You can do foveated rendering to pull, you know, higher performance. You then take that and then you go to full body tracking that this thing has patents for, where it tracks all of you. And in the last patent I found that it's going to track you. The headset is going, according to this patent, to be wireless through a 60 gigahertz signal, which is line of sight to your PlayStation VR, right? But it's going to have a 60 gigahertz wireless, so you're not going to be pulling wires around all over the place, which all of those things combined, if they can pull all of that shit out for like $500 or less, oh my God, what is everyone else going to do?
Right.
Everyone else's stuff is going to look like garbage.
So I wouldn't expect like, you know, some things like a haptic suit, for example, like that's got to be like additional, right?
Well, yeah, but they won't be haptic suit. What it's showing.
Body tracking.
Yeah. So what it's showing here is that there's going to be a camera on top of your TV that is going to be tracking your body, as well as it has little things, I guess, you can put on your feet and your hands it shows here. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it will do inside out tracking for all the tracking, but the camera itself is going to track your body. So I don't know, man, this looks so awesome to me. Like what does Quest do? What does the Index do? What does this $1,000 piece of, you know, set do? What? Oh man, my smoke alarm's going off. I hope my house isn't on fire. That's crazy.
So are you guys at Skiva's hype level on this, or are you starting to see the light, or what's up?
Yeah. We talked about it on this past or on yesterday's show too, and I think we definitely are on board. My thing is, you know, and you know, we've talked about these patents too, that I just feel like they'll never get all of this included in the price point they need to be for mass adoption. And you know, any peripheral that Sony comes out with, they're hard pressed to be past that $399 even limit, you know? So I just feel like it'd be really hard to get all this, you know, forefront of technology stuff built into a headset that they're going to sell in that price range.
Anyone in the world can do it though.
Yeah, true.
A company
true.
They have the R&D. Size of Sony.
Right.
Could pull it off and really hurt, like stab the market. You know what I mean?
I mean, I honestly think if they could get half of the patents that they have out there into this headset, it's still going to crush everybody else. I mean, honestly, I mean, looking back in the early days of VR and PlayStation VR, they had the biggest market share by far, and they were running on subpar right. you know, hardware compared to everybody yep. else. So yep. honestly, the time that they've taken to sit back and look at what everybody else is doing and what works and what doesn't work, I honestly, like, I'm more on the hype train, I think, because I honestly think that they have the potential to absolutely crush it. And like I said, if they do half of these patents and get half of that stuff in there, I mean, it's going to be the best headset out there, and it's going to be the most readily available if people buy the PS5 a lot.
My thing mm-hmm. is, all these developers then, too, that are developing game software for it, they know exactly what they're looking yeah. at for processing power. So, you know, when it comes to, like, even PC, you know, the Quest is a different story. Everybody knows what that is. But the developers for PC, you have to have that minimum spec. So you're always throttled to that. Where with this, you know what you're getting out of the gate, and they can optimize mm-hmm. that hands down. And like we talked about with all the new stuff running on the new PlayStation with Unreal, it's pretty unbelievable what we're seeing, if that's true, you know, if all that was true and it wasn't loading screens and all that BS has been going around. But yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome. It really would. And I'm definitely on board. If they can come out with that headset, I'm buying one for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that, so I think Sony as a company has the power to create this headset cheaper than anyone else can, because they have amazing ties into manufacturing. They run a lot of their own manufacturing plants. They also have they have the capital to take a bigger loss than any other company that might take a loss to get the hardware out there. And they do this with their consoles all the time, right? Where a console will start out costing them more than they're able to sell it for, because sure. they don't want to go over a certain price point. But they have the financial backing to be able to eat that, right? And, you know, and then make up for it in software. So I'm thinking, man, that, like, it is very possible that they could come out and walk into this, you know, virtual room with Oculus and Valve and HTC and just drop the mic.
Crush it.
Just mm-hmm. drop that mic. You know what I mean? And be like, what are you guys going to do now?
Right. Gamertag VR in the chat. Thank you for joining us.
It's got it's
like super late over there, right? Like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What are you doing up right now? When you can't do our show live, you need us to record it.
Yeah,
you show up live in the chat the a week later.
Calling like, him out.
He's kidding, of course, because I told GT that.
Yeah, 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 for the record, GT said he would do it.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Just busting his balls. But yeah, I really do think that Sony could walk out and do a mic drop on the entire industry with this headset. So I think you know, happen. Yeah.
And everything's getting cheaper. You know, I mean, they've waited yeah. and sat back for long enough now that the cost of screens, like all the cost of all of this technology that was so new, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018, you know, all the cost is going down. So, I mean, they're in a very, very good position right now, I think, yeah. really.
I agree. I agree completely, man. And I'm really excited. I never thought I would be more excited for a console VR headset than a full VR, like a full PC VR headset. You know what I mean? I just think, like, so just because of what this company could offer the entire industry, as far as stepping it up a notch, you know?
Mm-hmm. Fluke Rogi there in the chat says he's primarily a PC gamer, but he has more interest in seeing what PSVR mm-hmm. 2 will offer over the PC options.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're getting at.
That is what I'm getting at. Yep. This is going to do things, I think, that PC would cost a lot of money for you to make your PC setup do, you know? But yeah, there's that. You know, the other crazy thing is that that I wanted to get into with the news, just because it's so wacky, is that Apple bought Next VR. Yeah, and I don't know, you know, people out there, if you know, I don't know if you've seen Next VR stuff, but it's, you know, there's a lot of sporting events where you can, like, watch basketball or something from, like, from the very first row, you know, like you're sitting in the stadium, or you can watch it from up on top of the backboard, or, you know, whatever, wherever you want. I mean, it's just really, really cool stuff. I kind of screwed that scene up, but it's just really crazy that they went out and they purchased a VR content company. Now, we all know that Apple has AR glasses in the making. So, you know, in that perspective, it's not, I guess, that crazy, but this is full 180 to 360 video. What do you do with that in AR, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's all very weird to me. It's almost like, do you think Apple has come up with a way to black out their augmented reality glasses and turn them into VR experience as well?
I mean, a lot of times, I mean, it certainly feels like the technology is, like, pushing to where the two will kind of very similar.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just like the quest now, you like tap it twice, boom, everything, you know, you can see into the room. So it's, I feel like as we go forward, those, the technologies will certainly blend and you might, to your point, meet, you know, be able to have AR glasses that can like kind of give you a deeper, more rich experience, or a VR headset that allows you to see through it. And
I think Apple is one of those companies that would be like, we have to figure out how to do black, or we're not putting out a headset. Right. And I know that's a really hard problem, but I'm kind of curious here. Are they, you know, what do they have in store with these new AR glasses? Are they, is it a VR Air setup? Is this just, am I overlooking, you know, over, you know, blowing this whole thing up for no reason?
One thing that I would say that maybe we can hold on to here is that Apple is like a consumer friendly company. Like all of their shit is made for people who like can't figure out how to use real electronics. No offense. But like, it's very user friendly.
It is. You know, like, everything's play tested with 4-year-olds.
Grandma can really use. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if they're building grandma's VR headset, that sounds fantastic to me, because if it's going to help us get people in there, you know, like right now we're using the Android headset and there's a million fucking steps to get into it.
Yeah.
But the Apple headset might just be like a quest that works. I mean, we're talking like they're making one. We don't know that. But
yeah. What do you guys think? Do you have any perspective on what you think might be happening here?
I don't. I'm not a big Apple fan myself. I just, it's not in my nature. I'm more of a person who likes to modify things, let's say.
Yeah.
So Apple is not something that I really partake in because of that reason. I think if they do come out with, which I know I'm sure they will, an AR headset, and if it is VR, I think it would be great for the industry just because of the mass adoption. Mm-hmm. Do I think it would ever tailor to me? Probably not. Though I would love just to try out some AR stuff. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be at the level that I would want it to be, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that's what they, ultimately, I think that's what AR in general needs to do anyway. Some way to black it out and put you basically in VR with just glasses on. I mean, I think that's what needs to happen. I don't know. And hopefully Apple has that technology, you know, at least in the process of being made. And you know, they're probably purchasing up some of these companies just to be a little bit more future-proof, because they know at some point in time that's going to be possible, or, you know, I mean, some way they're going to be able to do something like that. So yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's going to merge ultimately in the end. I think there's going to be some kind of merge, that, because ultimately there is a big place for AR. I mean, we can see that, you know, the usefulness of AR, it is going to happen in the future, no matter, you know, what happens, it's going to come. But there's still a place for VR, no matter what. There's always going to be a place for VR as well, I think. So if you can merge those two things into one and you can do both, I'm all about it. I think that would be fantastic. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Mepper? Thanks for joining us, man. Mepper's stoked to see you guys on the show.
Yep.
What up, man?
I think it's good. I think it's good for what we're getting. I'm not sold on the AR completely yet. I don't know.
I feel like you don't have to be, because when it happens, it's going to be incredible. When there is a really good AR headset out there and people are walking around and there's a name above your head and you can just engage in conversation with someone, or you can just walk around, you don't know where you're going, but the line on the street is telling you where to go.
You know what I mean?
There's going to be a lot of cool stuff.
And I love all the information and the tech stuff. What I don't like, though, is the, you know, advertisements and the things that are forced in. Yeah. So that's where I find the hard point of being is, you know, where is that line? And I know, you know, it'll be whatever software you're in or running at the time. I like the analog feeling. You know, I have an old car, but I have all new tech stuff. Like, I love the extreme ends of it. So for me, I like to disconnect. You know what I mean?
So I'm curious. I want to ask a question real quick. Do you guys think when we get this first true AR product that's, you know, affordable to the mainstream and everything else, do you think this is going to be something that's going to catch on right away? Like, everybody thought VR was going to, everybody thought that VR was just going to take off. There was people investing millions and millions of dollars in it. It came out and it kind of, you know, there's people like us that were all about it right off the bat, but it's still a growing market that is taking a long time to kind of incubate. What do you guys think is going to happen with AR once it's, you know, you can buy it at Best Buy or whatever?
I think it's going to take forever. I do. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take the quest of the AR headsets to come out. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that like delivers the field of view, delivers the graphical integrity, delivers the realistic feeling, you know, like we will be impressed once. I mean, I've already been impressed by AR glasses. I saw some, what was it? Like, what was the degrees on that thing? Like 110 or something like that?
Yeah, there was 110 degree AR headset.
I saw an AR headset made by
Fire something.
Firefly Dimensions. Firefly Dimensions makes an AR headset with 110 field of view. Image, and it blew my mind. It was freaking awesome. Like I was like, wow, like okay. Everything else I had seen, it had this like little window where it's all getting cut off. This was nice and big, dude. It was like, holy shit, okay. I can maybe see how I could do something with this, you know?
Yeah. And I think when we get to about generation 2 to 3 of those glasses, I think we're going to see not just mass adoption, but I think we're going to see the death of other industries because of it. So I think what will happen will be that once it gets good enough, people aren't going to buy TVs anymore. Why would you when you can just place one in AR wherever you want it, resize it on the fly, and then click a button and have it follow you to the bathroom with you, something like that. You know what I mean? Like your cell phones, everything will be integrated in AR. I think we're going to see the cell phone industry die. I think we're going to see the TV industry die and the computer monitor industry die. Yeah. And this might be 15 years out. Okay. But I think that's going to happen. I do not see a reason why people would buy physical televisions anymore after AR got good enough.
Why would anyone listen to a radio broadcast today when you could listen to a podcast about exactly what you like?
What?
I'm saying that radio is not dead. I'm saying that there's no reason, in my opinion, following this logic, that radio should exist, because like with the technology we have, you don't have to pick a random radio station and listen to a bunch of commercials. You can like go and listen to a podcast about VR or a podcast about philosophy or cars. If that's
sure, there will be people that hold on to that technology,
right?
But eventually that generation will die off.
Eventually.
I just
don't know if we'll see.
Yeah.
My thought a little bit was, I'm kind of with you, Skiva. I think that it's going to merge with the cell phone. And I think that is when it's really going to take off, you know, because people people line up to go buy $1,000 cell phone when it comes out, but not, people aren't lining up, you know, right off the bat to buy a $400 headset. So once those are the same thing, you know, eventually your AR glasses are going to be able to do everything that you do on your cell phone. So once that point gets to there where, you know, the latest AR headset is the same thing as a new cell phone coming out, I think that's, to me, what I've kind of thought is going to make massive adoption, you know, where everybody's going out and everybody you see in the streets wearing AR glasses. And
so
I think that'll be kind of the tipping point.
Some stuff is connecting for me right now. I think you're making a damn good point. And there's something that Skiva said to me a while back. You know, I think it was like on our way to a convention. And he said something along the lines of like, I can't wait for us to go back to being a two-hand species.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it stands, we all are connected with having one of our hands occupied. You know, the phone occupies our hand. So when AR glasses take this and just turn it into this floating display, we're now,
got my hands back now.
And now I can drive and I can like maybe like use eye tracking to pick the next song, you know, or to answer the phone call or whatever, you know, something like that. I think you guys are right. I think it's
going to be a whole new set of problems though, because like right now when you're having a personal conversation with somebody and they're staring at their cell phone, looking at something the whole time, you know, they're not paying attention to you,
but it's
when they're looking
you
dead in the eyes and they're watching a TV show, it's going to be weird.
Like I'll be trying to have a conversation with my, with my fiance, and I'll be like telling her about a VR game and she'll just be like,
I've got a pair of sunglasses that do this, and I've talked about it, and you might have heard this too, that Bose makes them, and they have literally they're built into the straps of the glasses, right? You wouldn't even know until they're an inch from your ear that I'm blasting out the music, and I'll go to family events and stuff, just slip them on and just disappear for hours if I need to. And I just,
you just laugh when everybody else laughs. You're like, ah.
It's great though. But it's one of the, it's just like that. Nobody has any clue of what you're doing. And that
it's
will
gonna
be
weird.
You're right.
It's gonna be
maybe
weird.
The far future of VR will allow us to have two simultaneous experiences. Maybe I will be there at family barbecue, but I'll also be fragging people in Halo 20.
There you go.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'll take another hot dog.
Yeah, man, I'm very much looking forward to the future of AR. I really think it's going to just tear the industry up. It's gonna do a lot of good things, but there's also going to be issues. Like, we're going to get into some real life IOI problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Ready Player One IOI, right? Where the people are trying to cram ads in every part of your vision, trying to figure out, like, you know, what does that dude say in Ready Player One, that you can fill someone's field of view up like 90% with advertisement before they have seizures. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be looking. Yeah.
I think that's an older version of Mark Zuckerberg that was playing. Yeah. That's what I've always kind of, when I watched that, I was like, man, is
that for sure. IOI is Facebook for sure.
Have you ever seen Sword Art Online?
I haven't, but I hear so much about it. I really want to check it out.
Have you guys seen Sword Art Online?
No.
It's an anime, and it's like a VR, future VR technology, and everybody goes into this world, and if you die in VR, you die in real life, because he did the thing, and, you know, he pushed the code, and now it's real.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and you can't get out until they, like, beat it. Like, they have to, like, beat the game before everyone can make their way out, but everyone's so careful, because if you die, you die, so, like, only the best get together, and, you know, the first season was great, the second season... You don't need to watch it, but I would say, as a VR fan, like, that's a pretty good one. You know, it, like, shows, like, again, like, you know, the big corporation kind of building this thing and controlling it, and I was hooked on it for a while, and I'm not, like, a traditional anime fan per se, although I would like to be. I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
Eric for President loves anime.
Yeah, for sure. He's all about it. There's definitely some good anime. I you know, Akira, Fist of the North Star, stuff like that, I really like. But I'm not super big into anime. Just because, like, you know, especially nowadays, I have a real hard time getting through any kind of show. Because I'm watching a show and I'm like, I could be playing VR. I could be playing VR. I could be playing VR. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch these guys. I want to interact with them. I want to do the shooting. I don't want to watch someone else run around and do it.
You know, possible. Like, you know you can do that someday. And it's like, I want that now.
Yeah, man. So it's really hard. Like, I've been trying to watch Upload and it's taken me forever to get through. Because I just want to play VR instead.
Tyler, I finished season one of Westworld, and now I think I'm ready to do Awakening. Is that true?
Am
I
ready? Oh, it's so good, man. Going? Yeah, you have to. And I did it the backwards way. You probably know this already, but I played the game before watching the show. I knew nothing about the show. Oh, I played the game, and I'm like, this is super cool. Like, not what I thought it was. I thought it was a Western show, and I'm not really into Westerns. Played the game, and I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, so I started watching the show, and I literally felt like everything I was seeing on the show, I had lived. Like, I had been through, and I had been there. And that feeling, I've never watched a show and felt like I've been to that scene or that set or whatever it is. And it's giving me goosebumps right now.
That's so good. So the only time that's ever happened for me is GoldenEye 007 on N64.
Oh, dude.
That game, the way that they just pulled the environments from the movie and put them into the game, it, like,
blew my mind. And now you can go into Pavlov.
Yeah.
And you can actually walk through those levels with an AK-47. And oh my God, it's just so nostalgic. It's just so cool.
You know, but like, you know, we were talking about TV possibly being dead, right? But then we look at how, you know, a television program and a VR game kind of enhanced each other, right? Like, you were able to get so much more out of that television series after playing the VR game, and I'm sure I'll get way more out of that VR game after watching the show. Mm-hmm. So this might actually be an interesting thing for people to kind of pursue, maybe, like, because you can't be in VR 24/7, but it would be cool if I could, like, watch a show and then, like, play the next scene in VR. Right, and then and play, then watch the show, the next episode, and then play the next scene in VR. It's like somebody coming in and out, you know.
Mr. Robot did that. They did a set like that where they had like an extra episodes or they showed behind or after the scenes, whatever it was. And it was 360. And this was back on the Note 4 Gear VR beta developer version.
Wow.
And it was literally Mr. Robot. And you were like on the ceiling of the scene looking down on all of it. And it was super cool.
I checked one of those out and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was my first real whoa, I'm watching them. I'm not watching what the director's wanting me to see. I'm looking down at what I want to see. You know, that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, this conversation is reminding me of a game that I have not played that I've always wanted to play called The Invisible Hours.
Oh, yeah, that's been on my thing too. It's not really a game. I think it's an experience. Yeah. It's like a movie, but things are happening all over the place, but you can only be at one of those places.
Have you guys
done
it?
No, I haven't. I haven't completed it though. I did. I actually forgot about it, to be honest. I got it when it was on sale. It was on some crazy sale at some point in time, and I got it and I hopped in there for a little bit, and then I actually need to go back in there. So I'm glad you reminded me of that.
You know, when I was a kid, I had these old school Sierra games installed on my PC, like King's Quest.
Yeah.
If you know what King's Quest is, King's Quest was awesome.
Space Quest was my jam.
There was another one that I played called The Colonel's Bequest. And it was like a murder mystery game. And it was one of those, if you guys have never played those old Sierra games, they're point and click, where you click on the screen, the character walks there, and then you type on the keyboard what you want them to do. So you like walk them over to a table and you'll be like, look under table. And the screen will be like, there's a cat under the table. And then you'll be like, kick cat. And you'll be like, the cat runs away. Like stuff like that. So anyway, there was this game called The Colonel's Bequest, which was like, a mansion basically, and there was an in-game clock. It was like 2 days or 3 days, and you can only be in one place at one time, and different events happen in different rooms. So, you know, one playthrough you may not live because you're not where you needed to be, or you might not figure out who done it because you didn't overhear the right conversation. And you know, hearing about the invisible hours
sounds like, just like it.
Really pulled me to like that, playing the Colonel's Bequest Sierra game way back in the day. But like I said, I actually haven't played it, so I can't truly speak to that. But this is kind of reminding me of that, kind of like that fly on the wall experience where you can kind of just observe and gather information, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. I'm looking for, I did pick it up on probably the same quest, that the same sale that you did, Sean. So yeah, I haven't tried it yet though, but I am looking forward to going through it.
Alex, you are going to love Westworld then when you play it.
I think I'm going to do that next.
Oh, it's so good.
I just finished playing a game. I just did a full playthrough of Don't Look Down. Have you guys ever heard of that? Don't Look Down. It's on Steam, and it's from developer Catapult Games, and they are working on a quest port for their game. So I'm assuming once that happens, the game will probably get more eyes on it. But it's kind of like
the climb
meets To the Top meets traditional platforming, and it was really good. But it was like cranked out a bunch of hours, knocked it out, and now I'm ready for the next one. So it might be Westworld. I think I'm gonna have to do that.
Yeah,
you won't be disappointed.
Have you watched like season 2 and 3 of the show?
Yep, I'm current on all of it now. Yeah,
and I should keep going because like I'm just falling off a little.
It goes all different directions. I mean, it changes nonstop. The show is where I'm at with it now is not even what I expected from episode 1 to 5 to season 3. It changes all the time, and I do like that. It keeps you very intrigued in it. But some people like the same consistency. I don't know. It keeps me going though.
Yeah, I did get into this game as well. I watched season 1 and then I got into it, and I think everyone hyped it up for me so much I wasn't quite as impressed with it as I probably would have been. You know what I mean?
Are we still talking about Westworld?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I liked it. Don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I had some issues with some of the graphics, especially in the second chapter. I just felt like they used a few low-res things, and I was like, I don't know. I guess I'm turning into a VR snob.
Yeah, sounds like hard sometimes, I know.
Yeah, that show is really, the show is really, really cool though. It really is. And so is the game, for sure. So what do you think? So real quick, the quest is turning 1 in a couple days. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so is Alex VR.
You're turning your channel?
Yeah.
Oh, because you had a birthday.
Oh yeah, actual birthday. Yeah, I'm not actually turning 1, dude.
Are you sure? I heard you were born yesterday. Oh,
so it's like, I was already making content, but I was just streaming firewall games. Mm-hmm. And it was when the quest came out, actually right before the quest came out, I was like, okay, I'm going to like get on camera and like change my name to my name and like start taking the shit seriously, you know? So I guess I've been pushing for a year and so has the quest.
Oh,
and
cool, man.
It's so weird because, I was watching F Reality and Nathy was talking about the quest and he was like, it's so funny how fucking hyped we were for this thing. Yeah. And now we're just so used to it. Like, it's just so normal to be able to sit on the couch with your quest on.
Yeah.
But like for years, people were like wondering when something like that was going to happen.
Well, you know what's so cool about it too is I feel like every couple of months they give us a new feature for it. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't come with hand tracking. It didn't come with the best tracking at all, actually. It came with the same kind of crappy tracking that the Rift S had.
Right.
But they fixed it all. And then they fixed, you know, they fixed the pass-through so it looked good. They got hand tracking going. They redesigned the UI. They did the double tap to pass through. They keep adding to it, and they keep bringing new reasons for you to kind of go back into
it. And more value.
And more value.
Making it an easier pickup.
Yep.
You know, in this year, we've seen a lot of shit happen, man. We've seen a lot of games come out. We've seen a lot of awesome, like, accessories and things like that. And none quite as awesome, as far as accessories are concerned, as this amazing Oculus Quest accessory that I came across on on Amazon.
Yes. I can't even believe this thing is even in stock anywhere.
Yeah, like, how does this thing not sell out instantaneously? You know, like, it's
so obviously we're joking. This is a chin strap design to pull the back of the Quest and to lift the front of it off your face a little bit. And it is one of the stupidest looking things I've ever seen in my life.
I'm waiting to see the image because we're delayed.
That's right.
I'm like waiting for it to pop up.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God.
It's terrible, man.
Like, you guys don't have one of those?
No.
What?
There is no fucking way you are convincing anyone to try on your VR headset if that chin strap is on. I promise you.
It's only $12.99 too, but I feel like they could make this free and no one would buy it.
Dude, right. You wouldn't be able to speak with that thing connected to your chin.
I know.
That's
who
fantastic.
Came up with this?
That is awesome.
Like, I don't know, man. This is just absolutely bananas.
I was just dicking around on Amazon and I came across this and I came unglued. I couldn't believe it. I feel like whoever made this just had this shit sitting around. They were like, man, what are we going to do with these straps and chin-shaped plastic pieces? Let's just sell them as Quest accessories.
That thing is dumb as.
The other one I posted to Reddit, it's been a while ago now, but it was a book when Quest came out, and it said Beginner's Guide to Oculus Quest, and it was a picture of a Rift S on it.
I remember that. That was the best.
Like, really? Like, do you not even know what you're, like, writing about?
That's for smart people to not buy that book because they obviously don't know what they're talking about.
I feel like you would learn everything you needed to learn on your way to finding out that book exists. You
know?
Just like by a Google search or two, you're going to find the information, you know, on your way to that. Or a YouTube channel like one of these guys or one of the awesome people that join us on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, that's that thing. I almost feel like we should buy one
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't pulled up on my Amazon. I was just about to hit that buy button just out of curiosity. I don't even know why.
I feel like we should buy one and just send it out with the next person that wins the contest.
We should buy one and do a super serious review about how fucking good it is. This is just changing the game. Like,
it's even on Prime too. I mean, I can have it Tuesday. This is fantastic.
Aspen Darkfire says, is it beard friendly?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. That's there's instructions as to where you can shave out a hole on your chin so it can fit on there.
Oh, my goodness. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you want to get into? Any of this new stuff, or should you know? I feel like I just kind of want to learn more about you guys. You guys have been such a big part of my weekends for so long now.
I mentioned this, I think, in the chat or on your Discord or something, but you guys actually ruined Saturday mornings for me. I wake up, you know, I'm like, oh man, I'm up early. I got a few hours before my lady gets up. Like, maybe I'll play Westworld Awakening and I'll get on my computer and then there's the notification. Like, going live in 40 minutes. I'm like,
rendered reality. Yeah.
You're like, shit. Yeah. I guess I'm not playing anything.
Those
then.
Bastards.
Yep. You guys have a great show.
That's what happened to us. That's literally how our show started. It's because we would get up on Saturday mornings. This is what we would be doing anyways, with nobody watching, nobody caring.
Yeah. Well, usually we would get on every Saturday morning. We play VR together, every Saturday morning for a long, long time. And it always started out as us calling each other on Discord, And we'd be like, dude, did you see, you know, Oculus Quest is coming out or whatever it was, you know, we would sit there and talk and we're like, dude, we've been talking for a freaking hour. Let's play something. And we're like, we should just like start a show or something and just talk with people about what's going on.
It's kind of what happened with us too. We just would spend time just chilling and just having these conversations. And we're like, why don't we record this?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're doing shows for ourselves pretty much.
How old are you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
18.
I actually don't.
Somebody asked me that the other day, and it took me like 36. 10 minutes.
Yeah, I always have to think about it. It's
four,
bad.
But I think I'll be 35 this year. I think. Yeah.
35. Yeah. 36.
I'm not 35 cool. yet, though. Not yet. You can't call me 35 yet.
Don't be one of those age weirdo people.
Dude, you got one foot in the grave, man. Yeah, it's over.
Right. Yeah. My life's potentially almost halfway over.
Yeah, you're done. You pass up 30, that's one foot in the grave. A few more years later.
In VR, it doesn't even matter what age you are. I mean, at one point, we probably won't even have to move to be, you know, you could probably mentally control yourself.
I was one of them 10-year-old kids humping your face in Echo VR. You know it.
So Tyler, you just mentioned that eventually we won't have to do anything to control ourselves in VR, right? Like this is a pretty serious subject that's coming up kind of fast because we have a lot of really smart people working on brain interfacing right now between Elon Musk and you know, working on it at Valve
there's the podcast, bro. The fucking Joe Rogan podcast. Did you guys see any of that? Oh my God, dude, Elon Musk. On Joe Rogan's podcast like a week ago was talking about like the actual reality of like installing the brain interfacing chip and how they like will carve out a square in your skull to where it'll sit in there and sit flush with your skull and they'll put the little wires and just attach them very carefully into your brain. It's like,
and then he said that when people have these, you won't need to talk. You won't need to use actual language anymore, right? You'll just be able to think to each other, shit like that. But you know, the other thing that he was talking about is that it's gonna be able to cure all these different diseases. You know, turn around paraplegics and make them be able to walk again,
and
like
turn
that.
On eyesight and shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about a
yeah.
lot more than just we are. Playing games.
We are, but if they can do that stuff, imagine what the games are gonna be like.
Yeah. He games, reaches though when it gets into like the input stuff. You know, the output stuff. I totally agree with. I feel we'll have that in the not too distant future. The input stuff, though, I think is a whole different ballgame. Just because everybody is so different, I think it would take so long just to fine tune that to be able to adopt it. I don't know. It would take a long time.
Well, but I mean, I feel like the human body and the way most of our brains work are the same as far as how it communicates to certain parts of our certain organs, you know, how our brain communicates with our immune system, things like that. So I feel like there's going to be triggers that go across all of humanity, you know, that they're going to be able to really utilize and just take us to a whole new level. I really feel like we're going to get Black Mirror, hopefully before, you know, we die. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
but as you say though, like, you know, even with surgeries, there's a rejection to organ transplants and stuff. So that same philosophy would carry over into that kind of thing. So I'm sure as a general, you know, 75% of the time, it's probably going to work no problem. But you're still going to have those, you know, issues with it.
But so this is Gen 1, though, right?
Sure.
There definitely will not be mainstream brain interfacing that you have to cut out pieces of your skull and insert wires. Oh, yeah. So I feel like once they get to the point where it can all be wireless, I feel like it's going to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole game is just going to change. You know what I mean? Like, and for good and for bad. But, you know, like... I just see, you know, kind of Total Recall scenarios.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Where you can write things to your brain that maybe didn't happen. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of weird conversations that are going to be happening.
My favorite scene in Total Recall, and I've seen, you know, obviously when we talk about Total Recall, we talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
right.
I've seen both. Yeah. I have seen both.
Yeah.
And my favorite scene in both of those movies is at Recall. When he sits down in that chair and they're like, okay, you're ready? And then he goes and like his whole reality changes. Like it's not like he is like, you know, choosing one and like coming back to this. Like, no, it's like it just shifted his whole existence or not. right? And that's really the fun that the movie starts to have. But when I'm looking at that movie, I like to think of it as like, it worked precisely. Yeah. He went there like, you ready to be a secret agent? Oh no, it's going wrong. Holy shit, he's actually a secret agent. You know, it just shifted reality entirely for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if it manifested in ways like that for us.
Sure.
You know, where it's just like, okay, you're ready to wake up in your new place.
Yeah, and in your new reality.
You're going to be there.
Yeah.
And you won't remember this one, you know, or if you want to or whatever. Like, you might even have an option for some of that stuff.
So a few episodes back, well, it was way back in the beginning of our season, we had on Sasha LeBaron of Somnium Space. And he was talking about how they are trying to get it so when brain interfacing is a thing, you will pay a fee and they will record all of your mannerisms, all of your movements, all of your thoughts that they can record. So when you die, they can reproduce you with AI.
That's basically like that upload TV series on Amazon, basically what they're doing.
Yeah. So I feel like that is, you know, companies are looking at that. And if you really pay attention to what I just said, that's fucking bananas.
It is bananas.
Right? That they're going to be able to record everything about you, your brain waves, your movements, and then reproduce you with AI after you're dead. Your kids will be able to go get advice from you. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be weird, man.
It's going
to
be weird.
And I don't, you know, yeah. Yeah. What are your general thoughts on brain interfacing?
Like with Westworld, that was literally how, you know, them. And I don't want to spoil anything about it, but it's the analytics of, they were watching people essentially and recording everything about them and what they did, their reactions. I won't go any farther than that. But that's kind of the general thesis to that show. And yeah, it's definitely going to happen. I mean, when we get computers that can handle that much information and it's at those speeds and stuff, they'll capture as much as they physically can. And everybody who, as they do with our phones, I mean, you know, we have our phones that everything is tracked on. That's no coincidence when you say something or look for something that pops up, you know,
here's how you buy that thing you mentioned. Form of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like the disconnect though. For me, I still like to do things analog because it's just a whole different feeling and it's going to go away, you know, and that's the sad part really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am, however, really excited that we have evidence of us like racking our brains about this shit, you know, because we'll be able to look back on this show in 20 years and be like, look at us trying to figure it out. Yeah. Look at they're chasing their tails right now. It's so funny. You know, like, it's so interesting to me how like there's footage of people predicting future, you know, or like when you see those images of like when they drew in the 50s what they thought the future would look like, or Jim Morrison talking about how he thought music would manifest in the future. If you've never heard that, that's great.
I haven't, and I'd like to hear that.
It's great. Yeah. He's Jim Morrison talking about how he thinks music will evolve, and he's like, maybe it'll be like one guy, and he's like manipulating a whole bunch of tapes at the same time, you know, and like he couldn't wrap his head around what a computer, we would get.
Right?
So it's going to be similar for us. Like, we're sitting here chasing our tails, trying to understand something that's beyond our realm of comprehension, and it's going to happen in a way that we probably are not able to. To predict, but I'm really, really thankful, and frankly, I just love the fact that we can sit around and just guess. It's just fun to do. It's just fun to guess and talk about the potential of some.
When I think about like the brain interface computer stuff, I definitely think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be the future. And like, I've often thought about it, like it's going to be so real, you know, that you're not going to, like right now we can go in VR and sometimes you can kind of get lost in it and it feels somewhat real, you know, but it's not a one-to-one connection. But what I always think about is, have you guys ever had a dream that is so vivid when you wake up and it's so real that for those 10 seconds after you wake up, you're almost convinced that this really happened to you? I mean, that's to me, when I think of brain interface computers and a VR, that's what I think is going to happen, because I think it's going to be a dream state VR where you are. I've had dreams that are so real that I was running, like I was full blown running in my dream, and I felt it. You know what I mean?
It is real. Yeah. It did happen.
Exactly.
You have the memory of it.
Yeah. So I mean, that's to me, like, it blows my mind. Honestly, it's just so crazy. Mm-hmm. But that to me is what a brain interface computer VR whatever is gonna feel like in the future, and that's
dude.
It's gonna be crazy.
You might, when you die, you might wake up and be like, oh dude, take off your brain interfacing thing and be like, that game was sick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, wait a minute, you know? I'm not really dead? Like, am I still really alive? Like,
that was just a game. Yeah. That was just a game. You die. Now you're just out of the game now.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's gonna be knows, weird, man? Because how are you gonna, you know, how, like right now, like I have memories with Tyler in VR. Like I have memories of us doing stuff, but I still know that that was a memory of us in VR. There's still a more realistic memory than any other game, but it's there's still, you can still differentiate it. You know what I mean? And it's going to be weird when we get to the point where we're going to have a memory and you can't remember if it really happened or if it was in a brain interface VR. You know, it's crazy. You know,
that's interesting too, because in dreams, it's not like that memory is made up of all of your sensory perception. You know, like you didn't smell anything, right? Or maybe you didn't see exactly like you normally see, yet the experience is as profound as our normally sensory
right? Like you'll say, you know, I saw you in a dream, only it wasn't you, it was someone else, but I knew it was you. You know?
Yeah, that's weird how that's gonna start to impact stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess we can go on forever, but we're pretty much at that time now where we should start to think about wrapping this up. So
yeah, unfortunately.
Yep. But this has been awesome, man. Like, we're so happy that we had you guys join us. Sean and Tyler from Rendered Reality, we're huge fans. Like, we watch you guys every weekend, and we're before we started this podcast, and will after we've started this podcast, and we're looking forward to doing more with you guys.
Really do appreciate it. I mean, we just like to hang out too on Saturday morning, so that's literally what it's about. That's, you know, it's hard to keep up with chat and stuff, and I see you keep up in chat too.
I'm trying.
It's tough.
I'm so bad. I have such a hard time reading chat and figuring out everything. Yeah, it's hard. I lose my train of thought. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, I do love you. I really do.
It's hard to believe how fast the time goes by. Like, when we do this, like being with you guys, you know, me and Tyler on our show, like the time just goes by so fast. It's crazy.
Blink.
Like, yeah, it's like, insane. How is it? We just came on here, you know? That's what it feels like. It's crazy.
When it's your passion, man, you can go on forever about it.
Seriously.
I love it. Well, and that's why we're all going to continue to do this. So, thank you so much, Rendered Reality. You guys are awesome. And of course, thank you so much to everybody in chat. It's been such a great time having you guys here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Make sure to like the video for these two guys down here.
Yep.
Absolutely, guys.
Hold on.
Thanks so much.
What's happening? What the fuck? What's happening?
What's up, bitches?